This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. The question isn't if San Antonio is going to see its population swell by a million by 2040. The question is, what are we going to do now to get ready? And that answer is SA Tomorrow. People are moving to San Antonio. They're coming for the quality of life here, the economic opportunities, the relatively affordable housing, and our warm weather. But they will also bring with them more urban sprawl, more cars and crowded highways. And could they be bringing also more inequity to a city that's actually two cities? What do you want to see with San Antonio SA Tomorrow? What do you want them to focus on? Have you taken part in their community conversation events around San Antonio? What was your impression? Call in. The number is 210-614-8980. Email us at thesource@tpr.org. You can tweet us at TPR Source. And again, the number is 210-614-8980. With us this afternoon, three San Antonio city officials who are taking on SA Tomorrow. We've got Bridget White, director of the City of San Antonio's Department of Planning and Community Development, Art Reinhardt. He is the Assistant Director of the Transportation and Capital Improvements Department, Doug Melnick, the Chief Sustainability Officer for the Office of Sustainability. And it's great to have you here in the studio this afternoon, all three of y'all. So Bridget White, tell me more about SA Tomorrow. How are things going? What is the plan?
Well, as you said, we know that the City of San Antonio is expected to grow. All three plans were adopted by City Council in August of last year. So as we're looking forward to implementing the comprehensive plan, we're currently working on six sub-area plans. So those area plans include UTSA, Medical Center, Midtown, Downtown, and Brooks, and the first community planning area, which is the West Side. So going to a little bit more detail in terms of land use, what opportunities may exist, identifying catalytic sites, working with planning team stakeholders for those areas, and then eventually coming up with policy recommendations to really get those areas to the next level.
So when you say Midtown, many people may not know exactly that area you're talking about. Can you kind of define that a little bit more?
So it's an area just north of downtown. So the five that I mentioned are five regional centers that were identified, five of 13 regional centers identified in the comprehensive plan with having about at least 15,000 jobs. So these are really economic employment centers.
So describe that area geographically. So is that like near St. Anne's? Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah, Broadway area. That particular area.
So
just northwest of downtown San Antonio.
Yeah,
just north of San Antonio.
Okay, so
north of downtown.
Okay, so the Pearl.
Yes, is one of the areas that would be in the Midtown area.
Okay, and so Art Reinhardt, Director of Transportation Capital Improvements Department. Transportation, big part of SA Tomorrow. So what's your plan?
So, you know, recently voters approved the $850 million bond program. Of that, there were 180 projects and, over $400 million worth of street projects. And one of the first steps in really adopting the bond was this was the first bond that was done in accordance with the comprehensive plan. So of the 180 projects, 65% of those are located within the 13 different regional centers, those regional centers that Bridget was just talking about, and really looking at how do we plan for the future, the growth, not just planning for cars, but planning for the movement of people throughout the city.
And Doug Melnick, Chief Sustainability Officer. Sustainability, how does that fit in?
So sustainability is really, again, looking long-term and really sort of looking at what that future looks like. There's been a lot going on this year. Air quality has been a big priority. As we know, we're still teetering on the brink of non-attainment. So there's been considerable studies done looking at the public health cost of non-attainment and really looking at what policies need to be considered and put in place to help protect our economic vitality and public health. We have been working on evaluating the city's current dark sky ordinance that's in place over Camp Bullis right now with the potential of expanding it to Lackland, because the goal is really to preserve the military mission. They have a lot of concerns in terms of the impact that continued growth and light pollution has on their night training. And so we're really working hard on that. And the big thing that's sort of in the queue that we talked about last week was our climate work that really how do we start moving forward and developing a community plan to reduce our overall emissions and improve the community's resilience to the impacts of climate change?
So the city has these plans. Every couple of generations, they'll come up. I remember Vision 90, and there was Vision 2020, I think, also. And now we have SA Tomorrow looking at 2040. I think people really are interested in some of these past plans, especially Vision 90. It's very instrumental in creating improvements to the city to help us where we are today, and probably because of those improvements that we are a destination city for people to move to here. And but people are interested in knowing the plans to action, and where is the action part of everything. So Bridget White, when you talk about these six sub areas of San Antonio, well, what's going to happen to these areas? How are they going to be changed? And I know that people, every time we start having these conversations, the first thing people raise their hands and start worrying about gentrification. And I think that that's a premature concern, really, for a lot of areas, but people have that concern. So how do we make sure that we assure them from the very beginning that changes that are coming to San Antonio are not going to be pushing out people of their legacy neighborhoods and sacrificing them for future goals and issues for economic development for San Antonio?
Well, the big focus of the plan, comprehensive plan, or SA Tomorrow, is to focus the growth. You focus the growth in the 13 regional centers and also along the premium corridors, those basically the corridors that connect the regional centers. So we're doing that for a number of reasons. We already have them as employment centers, so we want to take advantage of the jobs that exist. So you add the housing, the amenities, but then also that's a way to preserve and protect the existing neighborhoods. So the beauty of San Antonio is that you have that history and you have the culture, but you have people coming. So you want to be able to, and they're coming because of the history and the culture. So taking advantage of what we have now. And with the sub-area plans, we're able to work with community stakeholders for them to identify what are those areas that they feel are areas of stability, areas that they don't want to change, but then also help us identify areas of opportunity, areas where there may be areas of reinvestment or where they see maybe there's a vacant piece of property that's been there for a while and they feel as the community that they can, that they want something to be done. So we're working with them throughout that process.
And so there are meetings that are being held and have had meetings, and there are more to come, and there's one on January 16th.
Yes, the one on January 16th is primarily focused on the land use. Currently, San Antonio does not have one land use plan. We have a number of neighborhood plans, sector plans, corridor plans that all have land use in them. So as part of the planning process, we want to help establish and develop one land use plan. And so we want to engage the community in looking at land use classification. So January 16th at the Convention Center at 6 p.m., we want to get input on the land use classifications.
So when we talk about land use, of course, you're going to get people who are very interested in land development and preservation. They're going to show up. How do we make sure that we get everyone to come? You say, oh, we're going to talk about land use, and people are like, ho-hum, I got better things to do that day. You know, we got to make sure people realize we're talking about your neighborhood. We're talking about what your neighborhood's going to look like. And you have a voice in making sure that you have being able to get what you want out of your neighborhood. So that's there. Everyone gets a chance to speak up.
Everyone gets a chance. We've started the discussion with the private sector, community groups, community organizations, neighborhood associations, government entities, because they all are impacted by this discussion. So I want to make sure that everyone is able to give us feedback, and this would be a great opportunity to do that.
And you can give us feedback today, right now, as we open up the phone lines. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. We're talking about SA Tomorrow. What are the decisions being made today that's going to impact San Antonio in the very near future as more and more people move here? The number is 210-614-8980. The conversation continues after this one-minute break. Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. When Mayor Ron Nuremberg was a council member, he sat on the committee that chaired putting together the SA Tomorrow plan. And when he ran for mayor, that was a big part of his platform, whether or not to really put a lot of force and oomph behind the SA Tomorrow plan. And when he was elected to office, that was kind of seen as a mandate. SA Tomorrow, yes, please. But is that what you think? Give us a call. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. And Joey is on the line. And Joey, hi, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Good afternoon. San Antonio is getting larger and larger and larger and larger. But the only thing is that our transit system via is still, 3 years old, and they're still doing things the way they've always done it. And what we need to do is make vast improvements in the transportation system. I don't know how many times I turn on the TV and I see a commercial, and the commercial says to people, well, I can't afford car insurance, so I have to ride the bus. In other words, it's a last alternative, and I'd like to know what's going to happen. And they say 2040, I think by that time I'll probably be dead or eating oatmeal for supper, but I want to know what's going to happen in the future.
Right, Joey, thank you for the call. So we do have with us Art Reinhardt. He is the Assistant Director of the Transportation and Capital Improvements Department. Transportation, Art.
Yeah, thank you for the call, Joey. So regarding VIA, they do great work. One of the challenges they have is they have about the same service area size as Houston's Metro, but about a quarter of the funding. So one of the things that the city did just with the adoption of the fiscal year 18 budget for the first time, city leadership put together a two-year funding plan to really improve about a dozen of the most used VIA routes to really get their, to basically cut in half their frequency to really improve the ridership experience. So this year, just over $4 million is being provided from the city to VIA with an increase next year to $10 million. So that'll really help those heavily traveled routes to really increase the frequency. So that's the near term. But also as part of the planning that the city's doing as well as VIA, we're planning long term, really looking at mass transit, rapid transit throughout the corridors. And that work's actually being done right now. It's a long process, but the work has started. So the future's bright, and we're taking the steps towards that.
Other cities are seeing people voluntarily parking their vehicles, getting rid of their vehicles, and moving to public transit. We've seen it in Seattle, Toronto. It's happening in other parts of the country. What are they doing that San Antonio needs to learn from?
Well, one of the challenges with San Antonio is we're such a large city area-wise. We're about 500 square miles. So it was really designed for the car. And so through the work of Bridget's team and the planning team, looking at how do we transform the land use to be more denser and things like that. So you live, work, and play in a closer area. That'll eliminate some of the trips so that those that do have to commute will have less congestion on the roadway. So it's a balance of not just land use, but also lane use.
But we're seeing, we're on a cusp of a major transportation revolution with cars that are going to be self-driving and maybe a greater investment in mass transit, maybe some sort of light rail system eventually coming to San Antonio. I mean, how is that going to be a game changer for the city and how people use the city and how people view the city?
Sure. One of the challenges right now is traffic in San Antonio isn't that bad yet compared to the other major cities. And so we're trying to plan for tomorrow when it's still easy to get around by single occupant vehicles. But the key thing is planning for that future. So what we're working on with VIA right now is planning the next corridors for the mass transit, whether it's light rail or bus rapid transit or whatever the technology is in the future. There's already, light rail systems out there that are railless, so they read the pavement markings. So it's really planning the lanes to the dedicated space so that the commuters have the choice.
Yeah, so it would be kind of like it's a hybrid of light rail and rubber-tired train buses sort of coming, and they would be able to service an area and have flexibility. Is that what you're looking at?
That's correct. I mean, again, the key word is just dedicated space for mass transit so that whatever that technology is at the time, once we get there, we can implement that.
All right, let's go to another caller. This is Eduardo. Eduardo, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Yes?
Yes, sir. You're on the air.
Oh, yes. My question is, what are the plans for mass evacuation in case of, catastrophes?
Okay. Mass evacuations in case of a catastrophe. A city is always looking at emergency plans, and this is something that we've seen in other communities. There are catastrophes that sneak up on you and disasters that you can see coming. So I'll go to Doug Melnick.
Sure. I can take a stab at that one. That basically falls under our Office of Emergency Management, which is within the San Antonio Fire Department. And I know they have programs in place, and they're continually evaluating those programs. And I think one of the things they're always trying to figure out is what's the best mechanism to communicate emergencies to the community, particularly different segments of the community. I think what we're looking at, and we'll be working with them as well as other departments and other community stakeholders, as a part of the climate plan, you know, the emergencies that we have now, whether they're natural or other, may potentially change in the future in terms of risk factors. And so making sure that we are adapting our current emergency responses to those potential future impacts. So will we, for example, experience more heat waves? Will we be experiencing more frequent and severe flooding events? And so I think we're basically trying to get ahead of that as opposed to just waiting for what's going to be coming down the pike.
Yeah, it's unlikely that we're going to have to evacuate the entire city. You know, an asteroid or something like that would be you know, something. But it's more like it's going to be very localized. Something may happen, a train derailment. Maybe there's a toxic plume that needs to be dealt with. And communication is going to be part of that, and working with communities, neighborhoods, and having access to roadways that are able to get, and mass transit to get people out of the way at the right time. I've got an email from Deanna. In the original SA 2020 plan, the stray dog and cat overpopulation was included, but there doesn't appear to be any mention of that program now. What is the SA Tomorrow plan doing to get this under control? Now, the SA 2020 plan, it was something very different. Okay, that was a community-driven plan looking at all these different areas that people felt could be improved upon San Antonio, particularly by tapping into people power. Mm-hmm. Now, I think what you're talking about here with SA Tomorrow is that you're using the force of planning with the macro elements, tools that you have at City Hall. Is that right?
Right, yeah. So the SA Tomorrow is more community aspirations, community-driven, as you mentioned. SA Tomorrow is looking, how are we going to develop? How are we going to grow?
So it's not like you're going ignoring the dog and cat problem. There's literacy, all these other issues, voter turnout. These are things that SA 2020 did a great job of looking at and finding great results with, trying to do public health as well. But you're really looking at, have a different bailiwick.
Right. But also, as we're going through our planning process, as concerns, issues come up from the different stakeholders, we work with a number of other departments to make sure that they're aware of what the community is saying. So we want to pass on that information. We, as a planning department, we partner very closely with SA 2020 staff because they are related. They're not exactly the same, but they are related. But we do pass that information so that the feedback and the concerns that we're hearing, is they're not lost.
But a lot of these issues that people have in SA 2020 were related to poverty and any inequity that we have in the city of San Antonio. So is there some thinking that if SA Tomorrow is successful, that will have an impact on the poverty that San Antonio experiences, and then that will also alleviate some of these chronic issues that are connected to that?
Yes. So as we're discussing with the various stakeholders in the particular area, what are those issues? What are there lack of jobs? Is it type of housing that needs to be addressed? Is there more affordable, less affordable, more market rate? What did they need? So as we go through that process, identifying where those gaps are, and then putting policy and identifying policy recommendations to help address them. So we are working towards addressing what SA 2020 had developed, but we're doing it from more of a land use and how the city is going to develop and grow.
All right, another caller, and this is Dina. Dina, hi, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, guys. My name is Dina, and I live on the west side of town. I've gone to plenty of the meetings, and I wanted to know about the master plans for the west side. How long does it normally take to create? Roughly like 2-3 years?
Okay, Dina, thank you for the great question. And back to Bridget White, Director of the City of San Antonio's Department of Planning and Community Development, the master plan.
Yes, so the West Side is actually one of the first sub-area plans that we're working on. The time schedule for developing this, in addition to the other five, we look to have a draft plan out by summer of next year. It is an aggressive schedule, but what we're trying to do is, with the 13 regional centers and the 17 community plan areas, is to be able to complete those within 5 years so that we're able to have input for the next bond. So plans typically can take about a year, year and a half, 2 years, but we're trying to get all plans done and identify land use and those concerns from the community within a year's time.
So when you look at the west side of San Antonio, that's a big area. It's really hard to wrap, but there are some places there that you see like little islands of prosperity and activity and oasis of education, like St. Mary's University or Our Lady of the Lake University. Mm-hmm. And tapping into those institutions where they have resources, they have leadership, they have a vision as well, is that happening?
Yes, a number of those institutions are on our planning team, so we want to make sure that we tap into the stakeholders that are there. One thing about the West Side, there's a lot of culture and history, so we want to make sure that we preserve that moving forward, and the stakeholders are able to tell us what are those, like as I mentioned, those gaps, and what do they see as the issues and priorities for them, so we can identify that in the plan.
So is there a way to kind of like maybe link, maybe like Our Lady of the Lake University connected Commerce Street straight to downtown, but to get between the two, there's some like blight happening. Mm-hmm. And if there was some effort put in between to link the two, would that have a catalyst effect to the entire area?
Yes. So we're also trying to identify, say, catalytic sites. Where are those gaps of infrastructure mobility? How do you connect those large institutions in the area? So that's all part of the process and all a part of the feedback that we're getting. So we can put that in terms of recommendations moving forward.
And Art Reinhardt, with the transportation angle, do you look for how can we improve ingress and egress? Or is this a place that we should designate an important corridor for moving people in and out?
Yeah, certainly. It's a process that you have to work together on looking at land use and then how does the infrastructure support that and vice versa. So some parts of town, you already have a very conducive land use to transform the roadway to be more pedestrian friendly and things like that. In other parts, you want to you go forward with the converting the road and hoping the land use will come. So it's done in conjunction as part of the process.
Right, and sustainability in this effort, Doug Melnick. When we move into these areas, these are older neighborhoods. Is that a sustainability a challenge?
Well, I think it's defining what we're trying to accomplish in those neighborhoods, and I think that the thing that's exciting about SA Tomorrow and the three plans is they all work together. I think as we start revitalizing neighborhoods, as we start providing people more transportation options, as we start undertaking numerous strategies, it's basically going to improve that overall sustainability of that community. And one of the things we're working with Bridget's department is how do we start looking at sustainability from the neighborhood or district scale, as opposed to trying to handle things citywide, because every neighborhood is different. And so there's lots of programs out there that we're evaluating that really will focus on working with the structure that Bridget has in place, working with the neighborhood residents and talking to them about what are their goals from a sustainability perspective. We don't want to mandate them. So what's important? Is it air quality? Is it water quality? Is it local economic vitality or food production? And really working with them to identify their own local goals.
And also saving, making sure some local landmarks aren't just bulldozed, you know, and this is important to us. We want to preserve this. Let's figure out a way we can do this and be part of the conversation in that way. The number to call in is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. Are you worried about gentrification coming into your neighborhood? If San Antonio is successful with the SA Tomorrow, how can we deal with that? 210-614-8980. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about SA Tomorrow, and this is a city initiative. They've created this framework for development through 2040 because we're expecting a lot more people coming to the city. They say a million by 2040, but I'm beginning to think that number might be too low because people are moving to San Antonio in droves, and we are seeing people coming here after what happened to Hurricane Harvey as well on the Texas coast. So what does San Antonio need to be addressing right now in order to prepare for this? And if we don't do a good job of doing it, this is really just going to make the city unwielding, more difficult to live where? Will this a missed opportunity for the city? Give us a call what you want to see us tackle. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. And Hilda is on the line. Hilda, hi. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hey, good afternoon. So I had a question about gentrification. And the way I understand it, which, you know, may not be a complete understanding, but is that, to take an example from earlier, that if we take an empty lot that in a neighborhood that and then develop it, and people come in that maybe have more income, that what happens is you're not necessarily planning to push those legacy neighborhood residents out, but over time, as maybe property values rise because of this development, that eventually they get pushed out because they can't compete. And especially if we're thinking about residents moving into San Antonio that aren't really necessarily interested in the culture and the history, but rather in the life quality and in the work opportunities that are here. So what is how is the vision going to protect these residents?
Hilda, thank you for the call. So Bridget White, the director of the City of San Antonio's Department of Planning and Community Development. See, I hear this all the time. Hilda is voicing what a lot of people are concerned about in these neighborhoods. And frequently, whenever we start having conversations about how can we bring improvements to the neighborhoods, people are willing to say, we don't want the improvements because we don't want gentrification. So, and you say, well, let's figure out a way to reassure folks that that is not going to happen so that we can actually bring about the positive changes that you're seeking. So what can we tell them?
I think it's a matter of we want the development, yes. We want things to improve. We want areas to be enhanced. But then we also have to look at the programs we have in place. The city has a number of programs existing where we want to help people stay in their homes. So it's that balance. You want the new, but you want to protect and preserve what's already there. So making sure that we have in place those plans, policies, programs to help those who are already there, who have been there a long time, who've been through the ups and the downs, and so they can take part of the new, but then be able to stay in their homes. So I think it's a matter of looking at what programs we can develop and incorporating that and making sure that we have enough of those programs. Right now, the city has an owner-occupied rehab program. We have an under one roof program. So we have programs out there to really help existing homeowners and expanding those programs.
All right, another caller, and this is Valerie. Valerie, hi. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I just have a comment. I'm a native San Antonian. I'm like 29 years old, and I guess, you know, I consider myself a liberal, open-minded person, but all of the people moving here, it makes me feel like we put so much attention and focus and money on making things better for them or inviting for them, instead of helping people who are already here, helping out the school districts here and fixing up streets and things like that.
I hear you, Valerie. Thank you for the call. I appreciate that. So again, back to Bridget White. What do you think about what Valerie had to say there?
I think that's a very good point. It's important that we plan for the growth, but we also have to realize that the growth is not just people moving here.
people of the future. I am the people. We are all the people. Right. We're going to be here in the future. So when we talk about preparing San Antonio for the people of the future, that means all of us.
Right, right. And so as part of the planning process, we want to make sure that we hear from those people who are already here. And so we deliberately made sure that our planning teams were made up of stakeholders in the community, in that particular area. They know the area. They live the area. We've also been working and meeting with the ISDs, for example, Edgewood, with the West Side. We met with them. You know, we have a meeting. We've had it at one of their schools. So we want to make sure that we're hearing what the community says, because they're the ones who are living in that area. So we're planning for those who are coming, but we're also planning for those who are already here so they can experience the city of San Antonio. They have been, and we want to make sure that they stay here, and a lot of people are able to age in place. So they have choice. They have options.
So how many times in the past we were in San Antonio and we realized, how come no one planned for this thing? Like when Loop 410 and 281 didn't have like an interchange, remember those days? It's like, how come no one figured out that we needed something here? Was it because people weren't putting the proper planning in place back in the 50s and in that area before we got to where we were in the 80s and 90s? And so is that what we're doing now? We're trying to avoid those, like, why didn't anyone think about this in 2050? They're saying, wasn't anyone on the ball? So now it's your ball, Bridget White. Are you doing it?
We're trying to be proactive, and that's why we have SA Tomorrow. We want to make sure that we are planning for the future, that 10, 15 years from now, we don't say, well, I wish we had or we should have. And for example, one of the things that we did do was we actually changed our comprehensive planning program to make sure that we're able to have these 30 plans. Once all 30 are done, we're able to have one land use plan for the city. That's something we don't have now. And what we also want to do is to go back every 5 years and look to make sure that we're on the right track. Because with planning and what sometimes a lot of cities do, you create a plan, but then you don't necessarily go back to see how you're doing. And then 10, 15, 20 years, you say, well, I kind of missed that. I should have. But we want to make sure that we're looking at market conditions. Have conditions changed? And what do we need to do as a city to adjust?
Okay. And let's go to another caller. Teresa, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you. I wanted to make a comment. First of all, I think VIA has the most fantastic service that I'm very impressed. I ride the bus all the time. However, I believe that there's a big problem in some of the neighborhoods. I believe that the streets are congested where the streets, where the buses run. El Sendero is one. There are cars and trucks parked all along the curbs. The buses cannot get through. My comment is that I believe that VIA should notify all the homeowners that they will terminate that service on that street if they can't keep the streets clear of the vehicles. There's an ordinance that supports that. It is dangerous not only for the bus driver, and it's also dangerous for the people on the bus.
Okay, I appreciate your call. So let's go to Art Reinhardt with the Assistant Director of Transportation and Capital Improvements Department. VIA, I know you can't address specific VIA policies and concerns, but you can talk about why it's important that we have things like, as you talk about, multimodal transportation to service the community. So tell me more about that and trying to address what Teresa was talking about.
Sure. Again, thank you for the call. So obviously VIA does great work. There are some challenging parts of the city where you may have narrow streets and trying to accommodate, parking on the street in front of someone's house as well as service and things like that. So those are kind of case by case, areas that we would look at along with VIA to determine what's, the most appropriate solution for that area. But again, just going back to planning for the future, providing choices for people, about 80% of people in San Antonio right now drive alone to work every day. That's one of the highest in the state. So the part of that is out of convenience. Part of that may be because they don't have the choice based on where they live or work. So one of the things that actually the city's taking a look at now, just starting, is what we call transportation demand management, and really looking at not just the infrastructure aspect, but what sort of policies or services such as carpooling or telecommuting, things like that. So thinking beyond just infrastructure and looking at how we plan to take away some of the single vehicle drivers there on our streets and highways.
And Doug Melnick, that falls into your area, sustainability, trying to get more people to carpool?
Absolutely, and it's something that we'll be working very closely with Art's team this coming year, really looking at transportation demand management and like you said, what are the tools and resources needed to provide employers the ability to provide their employees with options, because a sustainable San Antonio isn't going to be one where 80% of folks are driving alone in their vehicles.
What about people using their bikes? So, Art, where are we on on trying to assist those folks?
Sure. So back in about 2009, 2010, the city adopted a complete streets policy that really said we're going to look at moving forward all modes of travel. So, you know, certainly I mentioned early on in the segment, the bond, you know, all of the projects there will have that mantra of looking at what's appropriate for that road and then the surrounding areas. And then certainly we have, you know, on an annual basis, we have a program to install bike facilities, whether it's a lane or a protected bike lane or a multi-use path, depending on land use. So those are some of the things that we work on a day-to-day basis. We've made, I think, good progress over the last 5 to 10 years on getting bike infrastructure in the ground, and we're certainly looking at continuing that throughout the city.
But protected bike lanes is something that people really want because we hear about it all the time, bikers being hit by cars.
Right. Ideally, you would have every bike facility would be separated from the roadway. Certainly, we may be constrained in some areas based on the right-of-way or the adjacent land uses. Certainly, our parks and rec department has done a fantastic job on all of the greenway trails throughout the city. And then, you know, like we mentioned earlier, if we can't necessarily fit a protected bike lane on the roadway, then we'll look at maybe a shared use path where you have bike and pedestrians off to the side, essentially a wider sidewalk. So it's all part of the process of looking at what fits that different area.
And if you're in a bike right now, I would recommend finding some shelter because we got a monster rain coming into San Antonio from the southwest, and we expect it to be hitting us at the city proper in about 10, 15 minutes. We're going to continue our conversation as we talk about SA Tomorrow, 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. The source continues after this break. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. We're talking about SA Tomorrow, a comprehensive planning strategy, a framework that's getting the city ready for 2040 when we expect 1 million people to be here. They don't all come at once, like on the one day they all show up. It's little by little. And so are we already seeing, Bridget White, the impact of more people in San Antonio?
Yes, just as you mentioned, you know, with natural disasters happening in other cities, people will come to San Antonio. And we can see just in the congestion on the roads, as Art mentioned, it's not as bad as other cities, but we do want to make sure that we're planning for those who are coming. You know, I moved to the city 2 years ago. I moved for the job. And so a lot of people are moving for the jobs, the weather, just the area itself. And so we want to make sure that we're able to accommodate them.
All right. Another caller, Victor. Hey, Victor, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hello. A pleasure to be on the show. My question, and going to about congestion, is that I always hear people that live on just the outskirts of town that, you know, wonder why residents of San Antonio don't build them the infrastructure to get to and from their, I guess, their community, like, let's say, Cannon Lake. You know, how do we balance their desires to not pay high property taxes of San Antonio with their desire to live next to the convenience of a mid to large size city?
All right, Victor, thank you for that. That's kind of a policy question, and you guys really can't address that. But is that an accurate description? Doug Melnick, it kind of goes to sustainability. We have people who want to live further and further out of San Antonio, and we know that is the most expensive kind of development we can have. There is a focus in SA Tomorrow to try to emphasize infill development, so people will be moving into the city, and so we can provide those services. People can enjoy shorter commutes and have higher quality of life. Is that happening?
Sure, and I think, you know, the caller is spot on. That's the challenge, and I think you're right that when we start looking at our growth patterns, and it's not just in San Antonio. I think it's nationally. You know, we are still sprawling, and trying to sort of move away from that model is a challenge. And I think that's the point of the SA Tomorrow process. It's looking at our growth centers, looking at how we promote infill, looking at how we connect them through multiple transportation options to provide people the choice to reduce the amount of cars on the road. I think, you know, the larger issue is when we start looking at this is a regional issue. It isn't just a San Antonio issue. And so I think we continue working with our peers and other communities.
We have ACOG helping coordinate that.
Absolutely, and I think it's something that Mayor Nirenberg is a champion of, really reaching beyond San Antonio to start talking to other mayors and other leaders, whether we're talking about rail or whether we're talking about regional impacts on air quality. It is a regional conversation to really build a more sustainable future for our residents.
And that we have a question from Jerry on Twitter. What's being discussed about climate change and the city's responsibility to prepare for this? And we had you on just last week, Doug, talking about the city of San Antonio's climate change solution, but this is part of that as well?
Absolutely. I think, if we were to implement SA tomorrow in its entirety, we'd be in great shape in terms of mitigating the impacts of climate change and preparing for them. And so this past June, when Mayor Nirenberg and Council passed a resolution in support of the Paris Climate Accord, that's basically the policy direction that we've been given. And so we are basically working with CPS Energy and UTSA to develop a climate action and adaptation plan for the city of San Antonio.
Another caller, Pedro. Hey, Pedro, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, thanks for having me.
All right, go ahead.
I was just wondering about our current and future plans on terms of climate change. What are we going to do about all the people from the East Coast relocating to San Antonio?
Okay. So we saw, like after Katrina hit New Orleans, that Baton Rouge saw a population spike and people and businesses moving there. And they were gridlocked because of that. And so... You can't anticipate some things. Things are going to happen, but what can we do, Bridget White? Is that pretty much what SA Tomorrow is already looking at? Is we know people are coming. We have to provide services. We have to provide a pathway for smart development.
Yes, that is what SA Tomorrow is looking at. We want to make sure, as Douglas mentioned, we have options and choices. We're able to think proactively about things that can happen. We can't foresee everything, but it's in our best interest to be proactive so that we're able to accommodate the growth that's going to come.
But land use designation is critical in what we're doing here. I mean, that's pretty much where the muscle is.
Typically, land use leads to zoning. So where you have your, when you talk about land use, you talk about your residential, your industrial, your commercial. So then the next layer of that is where you're zoning, your multifamily, your single family. So I want to make sure that we're looking at where our land uses are. Are they compatible? Are there good transitions from one to the other? Do we have the right type of land use in particular areas to foster development and redevelopment? So it's really important that we have one land use plan for the city. And currently we have land use plans that may conflict or land use designations that are defined differently. So I want to make sure that we have consistency. So when everyone looks at it, whether you're a neighborhood association, developer, or just an interested resident, it all makes sense.
But on the website for SA Tomorrow, you have this verbiage at the very top of the page, talks about making some tough decisions. And is that the tough decisions that are going to sometimes rub people the wrong way? You may have a neighborhood that says, we don't want to have a multifamily residence put right here in the middle of our neighborhood. And you're going to say, well, this is what it takes. Is that one thing?
It's one of it. It's important to have those discussions. It's important that we're all listening to each other in terms of what we want in the different areas. If development occurs, we have to look at compatibility, looking at transitions, making sure that we're looking at, say, transit. We're looking at how it all fits together. And sometimes those are difficult discussions to have. With the idea of rail, some people don't want it, some people do, and that's a difficult discussion. So we want to make sure that throughout the planning process, we have those discussions so that we can effectively plan.
2018, just a couple of weeks away. Mm-hmm. What's 2018 look like for SA Tomorrow?
So in terms of the comprehensive plan, we are moving forward with the second set of plans. We anticipate taking the contract to council for a consultant in about March of 2018 to start another four regional centers and two community plans. So we're moving forward in developing the sub-area plans.
And Art Reinhardt, 2018 for your part of this plan?
So certainly we're going to continue fast and furious on the implementing the bond projects.
Fast and furious, yes. In our transportation plan. That sounds kind of dangerous.
Yes.
Is Vin Diesel going to be part of that?
maybe. And we'll continue, you know, seeking other opportunities, whether it's through state or federal funding. And then also, you know, really, you mentioned talking about difficult conversations. We'll have to get there as well, looking at our policies for infrastructure. You know, much of the new infrastructure that's built is built by our partnerships with the development community. And we'll want to make sure that the policies that we have are forward thinking to get us where we need to be. So we'll need to start having those conversations as well.
And how does the SA Tomorrow look through the equity lens that San Antonio City Council is putting out there? Are we also not just focusing on, like, let's make San Antonio nice for these new parts of town that are coming online, or also trying to make sure that no part of the city is left behind?
So one of the things that we're looking at, yes, is looking at planning through the equity lens. So, for example, housing. Do we have the types of housing, whether it be market rate, affordable, throughout the city, not just in one particular area of the city? So I want to make sure that we listen to the stakeholders in terms of their needs. And in terms of land use, are we putting things where they should be and where they need to be, so people have options and have choice, and they're able to in some instances age in place, and they have the opportunities in one area of the city as they do in another area of the city.
And so when you talk about Midtown, we talked about that earlier, and what that area kind of encompasses, like north to northwest San Antonio, just outside of downtown, that's full of really cool legacy neighborhoods where and some parts are more affluent than others. Some are kind of depressed. If you're able to get in there and bring services and better transportation options, you think those areas will take off?
Yeah, in talking to the Midtown kind of planning team, they really want to look at maintaining their neighborhood character, looking at housing choice, multimodal transportation, improved access to really, as I mentioned, maintain that area, but also be able to sustain it and enhance it. So they have identified some things that they feel as more or less themes that they feel are important to maintain and enhance Midtown.
And we've also got the area downtown overall, but the Zona Cultural, Hemisphere Park, these are areas that, you know, would be enhanced and become areas for people can live in.
Yes. So downtown, looking at the diversity of the area, adding jobs, adding housing,
we had the thing with the USAA, 2,000 jobs moving to downtown. Is that part of this?
So that helps in terms of the economic side of it, in terms of the downtown area. So you want to add the jobs, but now you also want to add the housing as well. So it's a balance, providing the jobs, providing the housing. So the downtown area becomes an area that's attractive.
And but, you know, getting around downtown is critical. And I'm wondering if that's just going to kind of choke off the beast just as it's getting on its feet. And so, Art Reinhardt, how do you balance that? And then, real quick.
Yeah, sure. So downtown, we've actually recently completed an update to our downtown traffic management plan. So we've forecasted projects coming in and things of that nature. So we are looking at when we convert streets, you know, what does that impact have, and then the plan growth. So we are aware of that and plan for it.
All right. I want to thank all of our guests. We've had Bridget White, Director of the City of San Antonio's Department of Planning and Community Development, Art Reinhardt. He is Assistant Director of the Transportation and Capital Improvements Project. Doug Melnick is with us, Chief Sustainability Officer for the Office of Sustainability. And this is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Thanks for tuning us in.